It will be the first anniversary tomorrow of the explosion at Massey Energy's Upper Big Branch coal mine in West Virginia. Families and friends of the 29 mine workers killed in that disaster will be gathering, and special invitations went out to dozens of mine rescuers who risked their lives to try to find missing miners. An NPR News investigation has discovered new details about the rescue effort and problems that plagued it. Here's NPR's Howard Berkus.
On the evening of April 5th, seven bodies were recovered and identified, and seven families were given terrible news. There were still 22 miners underground, and their anxious families gathered at a Massey Energy storage building near the mine entrance.
You know, I really was truly convinced that my brother was going to come out of there alive.
Judy Jones Peterson and her brother Dean's wife Gina and her five sisters began a vigil, sitting and sleeping in metal folding chairs on a floor stained with tobacco spit. They became known as the Sisters on the Wall, and for 4 days and nights they focused on a podium and microphone so they wouldn't miss a single bit of news.
To me, it's what I would describe as hell. Not knowing, waiting in these terrible conditions, families, you know, suffering side by side.
Some families actually engaged in debates, Peterson says, about which miners might have survived. In the command center in a mine office, there was confusion about how many miners were underground, who they were, and where they were, says Federal Coal Mine Safety Chief Kevin Strickland.
It was a very frustrating time for me on site to know how many people were unaccounted for. We had a communication tracking system in place that I thought we would be able to tell the exact numbers. But the system that was in place, I mean, Massey just kept giving me different numbers. They had two different portals, which is no excuse. I mean, we should know exactly how many people were underground. I wanted to get accurate information to the families, and I didn't have it.
The electronic tracking system was new and partially installed, but Massey officials didn't bother to check it for names and locations of miners, says Davit McAteer, who leads an independent investigation of the Upper Big Branch explosion.
It was still using the, well, we think they were at such and such a section, because that's where the users were.
So the mine rescue teams underground didn't know who and how many miners to look for, or where to look precisely. They worked in dark, smoky, and gassy entryways or tunnels, which had steel tracks twisted like pretzels and mile after mile of debris.
To send a rescue team without knowledge of where people are, you're sending them into a void, and they have to look everywhere. It compounds the problem that they're going to face. It slows them down.
Confusion is apparent in command center notes obtained and analyzed by NPR. They include hand-scrawled lists that suggest miners later found dead were working with miners who weren't even there. One list is dated 9 hours after the blast, and it names the miners who were working at the longwall section where the explosion began. Some names are misspelled, some don't list job assignments, and one entry has no name at all, just question marks.
You mean to tell me that in today's age, where computers can tell you within seconds of the level of production off a longwall and where that coal is moving along the conveyor belt, we can't keep track of people? That's unacceptable.
Nearly 12 hours after the explosion, Massey Energy announced 18 more bodies were found and four miners were missing, but no names were provided for 4 more days. Mine rescuers were still focused on finding the missing, so they didn't recover or identify the dead. But two Massey executives were also underground for at least 9 hours after the blast, according to the command center notes. Massey Energy says Chris Blanchard and Jason Whitehead were trying to find survivors. The notes reveal something that is sure to fuel lingering speculation among families. Blanchard, the notes say, identified three victims found that night. The word identified is used. Judy Jones Peterson.
He should have been trying to account for his men, and if his men were dead, he should have told those families, I saw your loved one. I laid eyes on your loved one. I know that your loved one is gone. And allow that family to leave the hellish nature of what we went through. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen.
A spokesman for Massey Energy tells NPR that Blanchard's observations underground were made in difficult conditions, and did not meet an established protocol for positively identifying victims. Once that protocol was met, the spokesman says, families were notified. Kevin Strickland of the Mine Safety and Health Administration says great care was taken when identifying victims.
Certain is the key word. You have to be absolutely, positively certain. And during this operation, we were not. In fact, there were no names associated with bodies as we were finding them. But until we were absolutely certain, we didn't share that.
The Massey spokesman also says Blanchard and Whitehead reported what they found underground on the mine phone and then gave federal officials a recap when they left the mine. But it appears their movement underground added to the confusion. The pair left footprints and used and discarded emergency breathing devices called self-rescuers, or SCSRs, and that seemed to mislead the mine rescue teams that followed. Here's Strickland at a news conference early on April 6. Now listen carefully because it's poorly recorded.
The one positive thing that we've seen is there's a cache of SCSRs that miners would go to if something were to occur that indicates that SCSRs were taken from that area.
Taken and discarded SCSRs bolstered hope that some miners might have made it to refuge chambers. Rob Asbury is the leader of the Massey mine rescue team that entered the mine first and found Blanchard and Whitehead underground. He declined to be interviewed. In fact, he and Blanchard and Whitehead and 15 other Massey managers and executives refused to be interviewed by investigators. That includes those in command at the command center. Investigator Davit McAteer once supervised mine safety for the federal government.
It's really the first time on such a large scale that a management team has declined, and it's unprecedented in my knowledge in this country.
Both McAteer and Strickland promise more about the confusion underground in their final investigative reports, which have no release dates yet. Back on the surface at the Massey warehouse, state troopers and social workers filtered in early on the morning of April 10th. Judy Jones Peterson and the sisters on the wall braced for the news from a Massey executive.
As soon as Chris Adkins said, all men accounted for, no survivors, immediately people started screaming. People were falling down. Chairs and tables were flying. It was absolute dangerous chaos.
And Peterson quickly dragged Dean's wife Gina out the door with the crying and the wailing fading behind them. Howard Berkus, NPR News.